Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Goes without saying, we're back again. Seffy and Wing are in the building, two separate buildings, recording another podcast episode just for you. I'm Wing, joined by the beautiful and amazing and incredible, spectacular ladies and gentlemen, her.
Seffy, hello.
Kind of, it's an assembly. And today I think this is a great episode. We talk about romanticising your life and living like the main character and find lots of problems in that kind of narrative that we're being sold at the moment. I think it's pretty interesting, and I think it's definitely got me questioning how much of my life is performance and how much of my life is authentically what I want. And who really are we living for? Good question, hey? Let's get into it. Okay, if in this episode I sound like I'm only showing the left side of my face for some reason.
And I sound like I'm absolutely terrified of getting sort of dark circles under my eyes.
That is because we are filming this. There's cameras on us, loud and proud, big old lights, kind of full camera crew keeping up the Kardashians is happening.
Literally. Quentin Tarantino came in.
So that's why the vibes are going to be here, there and everywhere in this episode. As usual, to be honest, goes without saying. You had a good message to give us, right?
I did, and I texted it to myself, and it's quite a risky thing to text a screenshot of this to yourself, because it, well, what if it didn't go to me? But it did.
Thank fucking God for that. When you hear it, you'll know.
They said that we're talking about romanticising our lives. I don't know if we've said that yet. So they said they feel most romantic when the flirting that goes on just before sex with Tinder guys, defo not the act of sex, lol, that's always tragic. Which I loved.
Yeah, that's kind of, yeah, you're not sending hi dad message.
The act of flirting, not the sex itself, that is always tragic.
Sex is tragic, dad.
My dad is like, are you okay? Like, did somebody hurt you?
Okay, yeah, so before sex is the most romantic time.
I don't necessarily think with Tinder guys, although you are powerful in that moment.
Well, romantic in a romantic life.
But yeah, it's not you're in a romantic situation. It's when do you feel that kind of sense of romance within yourself, I guess.
Powerful moment.
And that's when you're most desired, maybe.
You're a hot commodity.
And you know a Tinder boy is... I mean, in those moments before sex, he's kind of got a boner and your wish is his command. Like, he would do anything for you.
It's kind of he's the fairy godmother.
Yeah. Oh my, he's got a pretty pink dress.
Chauffeur named Kyle.
And a tiny little tush.
Yeah. I love that it quickly, the demise kicks in as soon as the sex begins. It's like, oh no, yeah, I remember this. Not as good as I thought.
I think the idea of romanticising your life, though, is often about those moments where you feel desired or you feel wanted or you feel powerful. And that's you go on a Tinder date and the guy is obsessed with you and you know it. That is a romantic moment in your life. It's like, yeah, fuck it. It's not even about the guy. It's about how you feel within yourself.
It's kind of that moment, you know, when someone's looking at you and you know, they're kind of like, the expression is like, oh shit, and you just know they're in love.
Yeah.
They're desperado.
Every man that's ever served me in a coffee shop, every man that's ever walked past me on the street, any man that has ever, ever, ever seen me sitting alone in a cafe.
But it's that look of like, oh God, oh fuck, shit. Mm-hmm. She's done it. She's won me over. It's my favourite.
That's the problem. Oh, that mug has lipstick on. I do not want that in the frame. This is the problem of having Quentin Tarantino in the studio. But that's the thing. It's those moments where you're seeing how stunning you are through somebody else's eyes. And it's like, oh, okay, I see. I see what people were talking about the whole time.
Yeah.
That also has the same ring to it. Like someone said they feel most romantic when they're like walking through a field naming the cows. And it's like, yeah, they have the same energy. A Tinder guy being obsessed with you and walking through the field looking at the cows have nothing to do with each other, but they have the potential to give you that feeling of I'm alive. I am like I'm like ethereal being in this world.
Yeah, so true. Well, I love that. This, I feel like I was coming with a negative Nancy angle.
Mm.
Because, I mean, I love the vibe of main character romanticize your... I love it in theory, but I think it's one of those things that in practice, it's like, romanticize your life. Okay, but who is your life romantic to? And actually, is it bringing you more pain? Is it actually, I'm making my life really romantic? Or is it just you're performing something and trying to fit into a mold of what you think is a desirable life or what you think makes you look good?
Yeah.
And actually, it's not a romantic life at all. It's more painful life. It's more and fake it's life. It's more forced life, and it's completely performance. Yeah,
because you're performing for the invisible cameras, your imagined audience, and you're also therefore performing for the patriarchy, the male gaze, because you've just grown up believing that's who the audience is. Or even if you're performing for other women, you're still performing of who will be the prettiest girl for the men.
Yeah,
really, like how much is it for you?
You're performing kind of for an algorithm. It's like your coffee has to be the prettiest coffee we've seen, your walk has to be the best walk you've ever gone on. And I think actually sometimes romanticize your life isn't really about making your life more enjoyable. It's about putting so much pressure on your life to look a certain way. Life isn't like that. Life's hard and it has those ugly moments and it doesn't fit into a nice Instagrammable moment all the time.
Yeah.
It's a tricky concept, romanticize your life, because I think it's really nice in theory, but I actually think it's adding to this insane like comparison, like rhetoric, like social media moment, everything has to be perfect for my Dudley special day.
Yeah, it does. And Dudley's special day turns out is every day. He's like getting last year every
last
day.
Last year I had 37
every day.
Yeah.
But last year I had 37 likes and now I have 20 likes or whatever. Everything is just it's constant. It's not just like I can romanticize my life every Tuesday and Thursday and all the scrappy days I just won't do it. It's like you then because the illusion of social media and especially Instagram is that everyone's lives are perfect all the time.
Mm.
If you drop even for 20 minutes and have kind of a scrappy moment in your day, we've got out the shower and you just feel like gross, it's like, oh well, I've failed at the whole thing anyway.
That's the thing. I think it actually just becomes, yeah, just more of a performance. It's more romantic to live an authentic life. It's going to be more romantic to live a life that you get to enjoy.
Yeah,
it's going to be more romantic to like be intentional and accept who you are and what you have and accept your moment and kind of just live in that moment fully, rather than coming at your life, like viewing your life through the angle of someone who's going to judge it out of 10 on kind of how nice the lighting was that day or in that moment.
Who doesn't exist as well. That's the whole thing that we always say.
Who doesn't exist.
I kind of had this realization with, I had this moment in, like where I was just thinking about this and kind of the idea of what other people think of you doesn't matter. Like people just say what other people, it doesn't matter. Other people's opinions don't really matter. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about it, it's like not only do they not matter, like if you were getting feedback of people saying, oh, I just think you're really stupid, I think you're really ugly, whatever, it wouldn't really matter, but also you never really know. Like you'll never know what 99.9% of people were thinking about you, so it really doesn't matter then.
Mm.
Like you are literally writing short stories, as we were saying in the last episode. It's like you are creating opinions of you that don't exist. So whether they people are actually thinking negative thoughts about you, which they probably are,
yeah,
and they also probably aren't, realistically you're never going to hear any of it. Like you don't have a review section of your life. Unfortunately, we do have a slight review section on our lives, but...
Leave us a review, by the way.
Leave us a review. 5 stars on Apple. Thank you very much.
Nice.
But you don't have a review button. You don't have a critique at the end. Like, oh, you actually scored a B on that. No, you don't get that. You will never know what people think if you're making the right decisions or wrong decisions. You shouldn't have really worn your hair like that on Tuesday. You'll never know. So you really, really, people's opinions don't matter. Like in a very real way, they don't matter.
100%. Like I feel like that is, it's the perfect point. It's our biggest point of life, I feel
of
like.
Life.
We often mask our own inner monologue.
and our inner critic, and we're just like, oh, society, or like, oh, my friend would think, or blah blah blah. It's like, no, you think that.
Yeah,
the only one who's saying these horrible things don't about lie. You is you. Yeah, you're the bitch here, you're awful, you're being horrible to yourself,
you're a bully.
Yeah, no one said that, you said that, it was in your head, and look what you allowed it to do, look what you allowed it to turn into. It's kind of shaped your whole life now is shaped by this fear of your own creation.
Literally a phantom. It's like, it's not even, it's a ghost of like weird sort of ideologies that you heard when you were a kid, and it's like still getting you when you're 35. It's like, don't pretend that it's, oh, I'm doing this to appease the male gaze. No, you're doing it to appease your own internalized idea of what men want.
Yeah.
Like, it's not about there are this group of men, folded arms, it's a panel, it's Simon Cowell going, not for me, you're not going to boot camp. It's not that, and there's no one there.
It's giving me a cabaret vibe.
Yeah.
He never said that to you.
It's a bit of a karaoke singer. No one's saying
that to you.
Louis Walsh isn't there. Fucking Sharon Osbourne's not
Sharon
there.
Osbourne.
Really? Stephen Mulhern, he certainly isn't there. So don't worry about it. Like, there's no panel judging your life. It's literally just you. And the people that are thinking about you, you will never know. Simon Cowell's there, but he didn't get a TV show. He's like got no money. He never invented the X Factor.
Simon Cowell will never know who you are because you never believed in yourself enough to go on X Factor because you were too embarrassed because you already hated yourself too much to give yourself a chance.
Literally.
I guess that's how we're kicking this off.
We're saying, guys, we're one of those weird people that tell shit singers to go on the X Factor. Honestly, go on, guys. You've got an amazing voice.
Okay, so I've got two messages here from what different people have said. They came at a similar time, and they're not similar, but I just thought they were good to kind of epitomise what we're going on about here. So one person said, life feels most romantic when I indulge in the Instagrammable self-care and when it's most aesthetic. And the other person said, life feels most romantic when I'm looking out of the train window. I think you're thinking that I'm going to say, see, that one of the train window is just so much more, like, that's so pure, that's so authentic. But no, I think, but I mean, love them both and completely relate to them both, not coming for these people.
You're both fucking wrong.
But I think both of them have that, the vibe of life feels most romantic when life is a performance.
When you're mimicking what the romantic scene is in the film that you saw.
Yeah, exactly.
You're a music video.
You feel like the main character when you look like the main characters that you've seen in films.
And don't we know that the main characters that we see in films, they're either men or they're pretty, pretty women.
Who are white, who are skinny.
Yeah, and who have nothing about them. It's Bella Swan. You do not want to be the main character in a film. You want to be your own main character that's maybe directed by...
yourself, right?
Oh, I was going to say Greta Gerwig.
You want to be the director, the casting director, the writer.
I was like, I kind of want Greta Gerwig to direct.
But they're going to throw in like kind of a crazy, like, I'm not looking for like a crazy, like, coming of it. I'm looking for just a beautiful, peaceful life of my own creation.
I would love some crazy, like, something that, I want someone that knows what they're doing to have some of control.
Well, you had a plane crash.
Oh God, absolutely not. But I do want like Timothy Chalamet to come and confess his love to me on a hill. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Wouldn't complain.
Yeah, that sounds great.
In all of those moments where you're performing self-love, essentially you're performing romance, you're performing drama in your own life, you're mimicking something that was made under the lens of this awful society that we have covered all the reasons why it is awful, I'm sure, but also somehow not even scratched the surface of why it's awful.
Yeah.
You're mimicking that and you're not in touch with what you're actually thinking and feeling and who you actually are. Because I love it, hand on a car window, it's raining outside and I'm pretending I'm Duffy for some reason. You're really Duffy.
Oh wow.
I think there was a moment in the Warwick Avenue music video that I used to love, but I don't remember that music video, but maybe that was a moment where she had her hand on a window.
When you get to Warwick Avenue, she's kind of, it's kind of head on the window for me, kind of head on the window on the bus, but your head's going bang bang bang.
And
like smacked just in the rains,
and somehow that's so romantic because we're like, but I look good right now, like it's raining, right? If you could get a single tear to fall carefully down your cheek, that would be honestly the cherry on top.
With the right song in your little earphones, it's, you're in a music video, but
yeah,
unfortunately you'll never be in a music video if that's what you want. You'll never get there because you're putting too much pressure on yourself for everything to be perfect. I love this message, actually, that leads me on to this great old point. So on the story we asked for what stops people, what gets in the way of people living, like, I think it was who are you performing for, who or what are you performing for, but this person said that they have a perfectionist sense of self off because they feel like things can't happen unless they're a specific way. And I know that me and Seffi relate to that a lot.
Well, we just have. We literally have just had to put that to the test with putting getting on video kind of, well, I'll be on video once I look like this sort of person, or once I just have like maybe done this, like then I'll be on video. It's like, yeah, no, it's facing up to who you are in this moment right now, Harry.
Harry.
I speak directly to you. In this moment right now, who are you? And give yourself permission to have everything that you want when you think, oh, when I'm that person, it'll be fine. It won't be fine. You're still going to feel like shit.
You're never going to be that person.
No. And that person is still miserable.
Well, that person doesn't exist. This is kind of what I was saying to Steffi before we started recording. Why can only a certain version of you have nice experiences?
Yeah.
Because you deserve a full life.
Because it's bollocks. It's absolute bollocks. It's a lie. And it's the same kind of behaviours. I mean, those behaviours will be the death of you. Like, you will get to your deathbed, age 90. The deathbed, I kind of hate that phrase. It's like, oh.
Deathbed, yeah. It's kind of, is this my deathbed? Is this the bed that I die in?
It's like looking at my bed like, is it you? Please don't say it's
kind
you.
Kind of in Benson's beds or whatever it's called. Like, is it one of these beds?
It's like, I'll never buy a bed again.
Kind of in IKEA, like, oh God, I can't go. My deathbed's in there.
But in your deathbed that you just bought from IKEA, have I told you about Minty Beds?
No, I love the sound though.
Minty Beds. It was kind of a van that was in Oxford that they had beds. They sold beds and it was called Minty Beds. And me and my sister, it was just like a weird van. I don't really know. They must have sold like mattresses or something. It sounds really dodgy. And me and my sister used to go past it and we go, I can stamp my feet. La 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 la. Minty Beds. Minty Beds. All together now. I can clap my hands. That was the next verse.
Why stamp my feet in my hands? What's that?
I don't know, but is that the tune to I'm a Barbie girl?
Yeah, undress me everywhere. Yeah, stunning.
But we used to go Minty Beds, and I don't know what the obsession.
How old were you?
I think too old to be doing that, to be honest.
Minty Beds.
I would say maybe it continued from me age 10 to me age maybe 14-15.
I thought Minty Beds in itself was going to be much more exciting than it is, but actually Minty Beds kind of has nothing to do with that story.
Minty Beds.
It's kind of a celebration of the song.
Minty Beds was just a van in Oxford. Just a random van.
Well, I hope they're doing well.
I don't think they can be.
No, I don't think they are.
Post-pandemic Minty Beds. How are you doing?
They didn't make it through.
I don't think the guy, Mr. Minty.
Does Minty Beds survive a post-COVID world? Who knows?
But yeah, on your deathbed. Sorry, Mr. Minty Beds. I have just associated your entire brand with death beds. But on your deathbed, I don't know what I was going to say now.
Oh my God.
Something about death and something about a bed. I don't really know.
Okay, I wanted to ask you. Can you talk to us about, can you share with us, do us the honour of sharing with us a moment where your life felt most romantic to you?
Ooh, let me like really tune in.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You need to really think. The pressure's on. We want a good answer.
Yeah.
I know mine.
I know mine as well, but you go first.
No, you go first. I asked you. Imagine I ask you a question. I go, I know mine is this.
No, but I'd love that. Mine is when I was in Japan.
Nice.
I went to Japan. I worked at this weird wedding magazine. You may have heard of it. From me, you would not have heard of it.
not through the
wouldn't have heard of it.
You've only heard of it through Seffi.
Worked, saved up enough money. This is before I went to uni. Wing was
nowhere to be seen.
Not real in my life. Not a character in my life yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Japan with like a group of people, and it was the best. It was so good. I've had an obsession with Japan since I was a kid, kind of like watching like Studio Ghibli films, like, oh my God, I have to be with Kiki, like kind of niche, but it's kind of, I need to be.
I don't think it's niche.
Okay, well, I need to be kind of with Totoro, I'll go in, I need to be with Gigi, I need to be with all the fucking characters. And I felt like it was one of those things where I was on the plane thinking, lower your expectations, this will never live up to your expectations. Like, this isn't as magical a place as you think. Like, you've got this from kind of anime stuff. Like, this is not real. And I remember just walking around when I had landed and I'd been there for a few days thinking, fuck, it is as good as I thought. Like, it is as magical as I thought. like, I'm shocked that something I've been obsessed with for years has lived up to it.
Kind of, you met your idol and they were great.
My idol was Japan, the nation. And it was truly amazing. And I remember just walking around, like, just being like, fuck, I'm in Tokyo. That was insane.
What do you think about it? Apart from, I guess, the fact that you've been looking forward to it for so long. But what do you think specifically about it was so, like, nice for you, like, pure?
I think it gives me the romanticize your life main character feeling. Not even in the performance way, but in the way of I'm walking down a street in Tokyo on my own or with people I met kind of 2 days ago. I couldn't really be further from my family or anything I know in my life. I'm truly just, like, alive and alone.
Yeah.
And I was like, God, anything can happen. And it was so stunning. I think it was just that feeling of, like, everything's alive and buzzing.
That's stunning.
Oh, God, take me back. Let me go tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, how do you bring that feeling to your life every day?
I literally don't in any way. Yeah.
It's kind of, I haven't felt happiness since 2015.
I eat the Itsu gyozas. They're in my freezer. I literally don't, and I wish I could, but I don't know how to, like, cultivate that sense of kind of electricity, maybe. I don't know how to cultivate that in my daily, like, scrappy life, and I wish I fucking could.
You were only, like, 19, right?
Yeah, I was young.
Yeah. I think when you are, like, 18, 19, even if you're fucking going through it, there is something about the narrative in the world that is, like, even just being alive and being here for, like, 18, 19 years or whatever, there is something in that that is electric because you're kind of being sold
the potential of your life.
You've got youth to work with. Yeah, you still fit into that youthful bubble that society praises us all for. Yeah, you've got everything's up for grabs.
And also it was in my quote-unquote gap year, and I had just been kind of shattered by the uni that I wanted to go to and didn't get to go to, and I'd been working in this, like, quite weird place, really hard, actually. Like, I'd been there, like, 9 till 5 every day, which is normal, but also, like, from going from school, you're like, Jesus.
It's enough for us to want to kill ourselves. We say it all the time, like, I don't know if we just missed the fucking
memo.
There's something that, like, people seem to have, Miss Effie, and I just don't have it. Like, some sort of, I don't know if it's a trait or, like, some sort of strain in our DNA. It literally makes us want to kill ourselves. Yeah. And I'm not trivializing it. I'm being dead fucking serious. Yeah. I would drive in and think I could quickly swerve this car over because I would rather die than do this all day.
Like, there were many, many, many times when I would just be there and just think, I fucking could die. Like, I literally could die.
Yeah.
And I probably wouldn't care. Like, you're just sitting there. It almost feels like you're selling your hours because you literally are selling your hours. But it's like, I've accomplished nothing, but I'm getting paid because it's nothing to do with skill. It's if my bum is in this seat, I'm paid.
So lucky. If my feet are on this floor and I have to stand up and walk around all day. Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
Same people every day.
But that's what I think my problem is with the romanticize your life main character stuff. How are you supposed to feel like the main character when the reality is for the majority of people, you're hating a large... If you're spending over 40 hours of your week in a building that you fucking hate and you're being forced to say things you don't believe in and you're being forced to be around people that you don't fucking like.
With a boss that talks to you about how Brexit's amazing and how fox hunting is, like, the best sport on earth, for example.
Exactly. And then you get home and you're fucking knackered and you sit and you scroll for a bit and everyone's talking about romanticising their life while they look out the window and it's beautiful sunset and they're kind of twirling their iced coffee in their hands and they're going on a walk with all of these amazing people. It's like, but my life's shit.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This doesn't make me feel better. How am I supposed to romanticize this thing that I hate?
Literally.
That is my life.
And even when it does seem amazing, like I remember when I was in Portugal visiting my family, I remember I was on a hammock and you were saying to me, just romanticize it. Like you're on a hammock in the hot, hot sun.
Yeah.
There's a dog next to you. You've got like probably some kind of like iced fucking coffee with you.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, just you were like, just why don't you just romanticize it? And it's like, yeah, even when you look around and it looks pretty romantic, I'm on a hammock. I don't know where you buy a hammock.
Yeah.
B&Q? I don't fucking know. I was on a hammock.
Because I would look out the window and it would be so grey. It was honestly 50 shades of grey.
But I think it's hard to romanticise it even when the visuals are romantic. Like the visuals can look like Instagram at the best of times and you're still like, well, I feel like you're absolute fucking dog shit.
That's the thing. That's the thing I don't like about this narrative is it's completely... It's so reductive that it takes no mental health issue into account.
Yeah.
It's so classist. It takes no like reality of what it is to be working class into account. Most people's lives do not fit into what movies tell us a main character life looks like.
Literally, yeah.
But yet the kids on TikTok, 16-year-olds, are saying romanticize your life and it looks great for a 1 minute, 30-second reel.
Yeah, it looks stunning.
But it's not reality.
No.
For the majority of people. And I think that's also the problem with social media is you forget because all you see is people from the minority. It's essentially you're seeing a lot of the 1%. You're seeing a lot of people who live a very similar, beautiful, aesthetic life. You forget that actually the majority of people don't have access to any of that. And you kind of convince yourself that you're the only one who doesn't get to experience all of these great things. It's like, no, everyone else is fucking living in dog shit too.
What was your
I was gonna say Brighton.
Oh well, same.
That summer when that was very like pure, that was that's like a recent time, because I feel like after that it was just kind of
back to dog shit.
Well, it was kind of had a few months of like freedom and exploring, and then it was COVID times.
Yeah.
And I feel like that Brighton summer,
that also had that certain like electricity to it.
Yeah,
it's like everything's happening, like weird shit is happening, like synchronicities are happening. And
I kind of feel like I had it I've had it a bit this year, which is funny because I literally haven't left my house this year. But I had a moment at the end of 2020, like the beginning of 2021, where I just kind of, it was like my pokey self evolved.
Yeah, you leveled up.
I went through a phase of playing Pokemon, but I really evolved. Like I just turned into a new person and I just decided to like do what I can. I'm kind of done with like not putting in all of my effort to make this as enjoyable as possible.
Literally.
Because I'm seeing the years fly by. I'm still so young, but I'm not getting any younger. And like I'm just seeing, I think I'm innately or just inherently one of those people that I just allow life to wash over me, and I think I'm kind of done with that.
Oh god, I love it.
So I feel like at the end of last year and the beginning of this year, I just was like, it felt electric, and everything kind of fell into place like January, and it was so it's electric, it's alive, the momentum is building,
and you're kind of in that state where it's like I have energy.
Mm.
When it's not like that, and when you're living in a very passive way, you're very like, I've got no energy in me, like I need to lie down, all of this stuff.
I've got no will to live.
I've literally lost the will to live.
Yeah.
But it's in those moments where you're like, fuck, I have energy. Like I'm exhausted because I'm doing so much, I'm like so present in each moment, but it's like I actually I have energy for this, like I can see the worth in this.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's a really interesting split between living intentionally and trying to live really authentically, and then the main character thing fits into that perfectly and I love it. But a part of it, I was gonna say, I feel like a part of it leans into this kind of like the kind of Twitter rhetoric of like set boundaries and like be horrible to people, basically.
And normalize.
You are always right. Yeah, normalize kind of being a cunt, and like you're never the toxic one, and everyone is toxic. Is that even? And I kind of feel like the main character thing is kind of bad for, I would say, a lot of people's egos, because it gives you this bizarre, or it kind of emphasizes your God complex. And I think there's an arrogance to it that isn't pure. It's kind of, you're living in bad faith. It's kind of, this isn't a good way to live with this. You're living, like, actually coming from a place of, like, hate and anger and jealousy. But it's being masked as, like, oh, I'm living in a beautiful... No. Not at all. You're living, like, with desperation.
It's like an obsession with being an individual, which is such a capitalist thing. And, yeah, we're all individuals in so many ways. But it's this idea that you must brand your individuality and make it, oh my god, it's a performance, it's got to make sense. Like, oh well, if I'm an ice skater, then I can't also be a boxer because it doesn't make sense as a brand. And it's like, no, you're obsessed with the idea of how you appear,
how you look,
how you look to the quote-unquote imagined audience. And it's like, you're fucking this up. Like, you're actually gonna fuck this up. Sure, you'll get your deathbed and kind of thing, yeah, there's no big score. But it's also like, yeah, you will also get your deathbed and think, oh, I did kind of fuck that up slightly. Like, was obsessed with,
I didn't do anything that I wanted to do.
I was obsessed with how it looked to be living rather than actually living.
How it felt to live.
Yeah.
Which is a sad place to be. And I kind of think the problem is we're raised with there's no real emphasis, at least for, I would say, like, our generation and people, like, roughly our age. I mean, maybe I can only speak from my own experience. I feel like there really isn't that much societal direction or emphasis on emotional intelligence or developing good self-awareness or critical thinking or being analytical. Or I feel like the emphasis growing up is to just mold you into what is going to work so that you fit in quite nicely, rather than actually having any ability to examine yourself and really reflect on what you actually might want from life, because it might not reflect what society wants for you at all.
And if it does, why the fuck are you so compatible with something that is absolutely out to get you?
Yeah.
You don't want to be compatible with this.
But I think that's why people then hear romanticize your life. We take a lot at face value because we haven't been raised with, like, the skills to unpack what that might mean. So we just kind of take on I'm the main character, and then it's kind of like, yeah, well, fuck you guys, like, yeah. I knew I was the best, blah blah blah. It's like, but you're not living, you're not happy. I just think the whole thing is fucked when you start using film analogies to reflect on your own life. I don't see how that can ever work, because it takes away all fluidity and presence.
Completely. Well, you're curating something that is real and sort of putting it into the formula of something that you've seen. And it's the same thing. I say it all the time, or I think it all the time anyway, of, like, you're looking for your identity in external things, which is, like, you're never gonna fucking find it.
Literally that.
You're never gonna find your true self, your true essence of who you are and what you want to do and makes you happy in something that's external. You're looking at the montage of Bridget Jones getting fit, she's throwing her cigarettes in the bin. People really, the smoking thing is she's getting texts from fucking what's his name, fucking Hugh Grant.
I was gonna say Hugh Jackman too. Wolverine is texting Bridget Jones for some reason.
Bridget Jones, it's a crossover. You're performing the montage of what it is like to get your life together, when actually, what does it look like to get your life together? Does it mean stopping drinking, or does it mean actually you need to get out of your bed and go to a party and maybe drink something?
Yeah.
You don't actually know what sorting your life out or getting your best life, quote unquote, living your best life.
Yeah.
You don't know what that's going to look like. But the TV, the film, the stuff that you want, that tells you what it should look like, they're telling you it should be, you should probably just, like, slim down, stop drinking, be a bore, and maybe just get, like, a nice little job, and maybe just get one singular boyfriend. It's like, well, maybe I don't want that. Maybe I want to go to McDonald's and have a drink and kind of sleep with a few people, or sleep with no one. Like, it doesn't, it looks so different for everyone, which should go without saying, but it really doesn't.
Yeah, completely. It's just too prescriptive, and it's bleak the whole time to be screaming, I'm living like I'm the main character, I'm romanticizing my life, I'm living like the main character. But actually, you're not the main character at all. It's kind of, you just turned up to the cinema to press play and watch your own life. You're not even a character, you're the observer,
you're the critic, you're running kind of Rotten Tomatoes, kind of going,
75%.
Bit rotten to me, 20%.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, literally. It's awful.
Something I wanted to, I kind of feel like this pulls us back maybe to your point at the beginning, but can you, how do we romanticize our lives if our whole idea of romance is wrong?
It's fucked, to be honest.
And rooted in
violence.
Yeah, all this fucked up shit. Can you talk to us about that?
In misogyny, in white supremacy, yeah. In, to be honest, everything, fat phobia, it's rooted in, take all of the grim shit in life, then tell us that that's romantic, and there we go, we're fucking idiots.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing, if you strip things back to kind of Twilight, which we love to strip things back to Twilight as if that's like the epitome of film.
Which we love to do.
But it kind of is the epitome of what we were taught that romance was. Mm-hmm. And it's literally a jealous, violent killer that's a paedophile. Let's add that in there. He's also a paedophile. He's 108 or something, I believe. He's graduated 12 times or something.
How long have you been 17?
Yeah, how long has that fucker been 17? I will love you for 1,000 years, whatever it is. 1,000 years. He's a paedophile.
Yeah.
And then also put into that a woman with no personality.
Her only personality is that she's not like the other girls.
And the other girls are so cool.
Yeah.
The other girls.
So fun.
Take me to that dress shop.
Yeah. She's like, my tits look great in this. Like, honestly, Anna Kendrick, they do. They do.
They do, Anna Kendrick.
Sing me that cup song, babe. Bring it around.
Whilst Bella's there, boring, eating her grey little mushroom ravioli, Anna Kendrick is there. Yeah, and Anna Kendrick is there with amazing boobs. Who would you rather be?
Kind of. Are we putting the patriarchy back on it by saying, who would you rather be? One's got amazing boobs and one is just kind of quiet and intellectual.
Would you rather be boring or have good boobs? Which one? But which one, though? It's like, to be honest, I would rather be at dinner with Edward than with that girl with the glasses that Anna Kendrick hangs out with.
Well, I'd rather be at dinner with Edward just because she was about to get kind of gang raped and he thankfully turns up in the nick of time. So if the alternative is he doesn't turn up and you're in kind of grave danger, then yeah, I'd rather be at dinner too than on my deathbed.
In minty beds, singing that you can clap your hands.
Literally in the back of a van.
Literally. If you strip it back to Twilight or Disney or any of the ways that we learn what was romantic, it is that you are not good enough on your own. You have to basically be the most boring kind of little lovely singing voice girl who then gets saved, gets married, and that's the end of her story. She goes from kind of Miss to Mrs., takes on his name, and her life is happily ever after. It's done. Her life is over. She's had her chance to explore, and now it's done.
Hopefully not too much exploring, because you do not want a loose wife. Otherwise, you will not be chosen.
Do not fuck anyone in that time. You may explore by singing to some birds, but you may never, ever, ever fuck a man.
Yeah.
That is the truth.
To be honest, who would want to?
Honestly, what did the girl say at the beginning?
Sex is a tragedy or something.
She said the act of sex itself is always tragic.
Yeah, so true.
So fucking true. But yeah, so it's no wonder that our idea of what is romantic is fucked.
Yeah. And what is successful is wrapped up in that too.
Literally, because success is losing your identity to a man.
Yeah.
And becoming his wife, his little accessory.
Yeah. Yeah, completely.
Success under the patriarchy is you giving up your identity. And don't you dare get a wrinkle.
Yeah. And success under kind of white supremacy and capitalism is you have nothing.
Yeah.
And you're just another number.
First of all, I'm not a number. I'm a human being. Keep the Simon Cowell stuff coming.
Iconic. God, a lot of X Factor references in here.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Ariel. Rip.
She did. Yeah, God.
She died. Loads of them died. Because it's just like, you would.
Killed by Simon Cowell on their death.
Honestly, you're genuinely murdered by Simon.
It's a no from me, that's for sure.
It's so cruel. Do you remember that thing, that Zoe Alexander thing that I got obsessed with?
You were obsessed with her for about kind of 24 hours.
Yeah, 2 days, it was my mission to save Zoe Alexander.
You and Demma O'Leary have that in common. No one gave a shit about her for more than kind of the first 10 minutes of reading her email. So awful.
Just the X Factor, it's like you have all these promises of you will be on TV, your friends and family will see you.
Well, the fact that if you're over the age of 25, you're suddenly an old person by the standards of the X Factors, you're joking.
That is absolutely insane. Like, thinking about that now,
should we next year when we're 25, should we go on,
and we'll go on and be, and we'll do the whole performance, get to the semi-finals?
Should we go on the X Factor? Oh no, we'd be in band, we'd be in a group.
We'd be in groups. We'll go on separately.
I don't want to go on separately. It's embarrassing.
And announce at the very end we actually know each other, whilst it's just us, we're both of us in the finals. Cheryl's got us arm in arm.
Oh my God, and we do a Hunger Games.
Oh God, that took a dark turn.
No, but we say like, we can't, not one of us is going to win. We're both going to do it like...
We both eat the berries.
Is that what they do at Hunger Games? Yeah.
We threaten to kill ourselves on national TV, ITV.
God, this took a turn.
Simon is like, oh God, what have I done? We kill ourselves live on TV. Anton Decker like, stop, Stephen Mulhern is running through.
On the X Factor. On the X Factor final. There's a big Christmas tree in the back.
We're going to get Christmas number one.
Leona Lewis has just sung a little guest song.
Honestly, Anton Decker crying. Talisa's there like female boss.
With her arm.
So good.
Oh my God.
So one of the questions we asked on the story was, do you think you perform and like conform more for society and like culture and people, like strangers essentially, or people you know in your real life, like friends and family? So what do you think? I wanted to ask you what you thought.
Well, I kind of think the majority of people said strangers, right?
I think it was quite split. It was like the majority bit was like 53%.
Oh, I think it was a bit more than that.
Really? I thought it was quite a Brexit situation.
I thought it was about like 60-70 even.
Well, we should just check, but anyway, we can't be asked.
We could just check,
but our phones are in ring lights right now.
Yeah. And the other one's my microphone. Let's not get into that.
You'll see on the video that the best microphone we found is an iPhone 6.
It's my old iPhone. Anyway, if you want to start a podcast, just do it. This is a shambles and it's great.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people said that they perform and conform more for society because it's what we were saying at the beginning of, you convince yourself that it's society's voice telling you one thing and telling you another, but it's actually just your inner kind of asshole.
It's literally just you.
It's you, yeah. And I think, is it about society or other people, friends, family, or is it your own fear? It comes from your own fear and kind of what I was saying in the other episode about you turn up to life already feeling undeserving.
Yeah.
You get here and you immediately feel like you shouldn't be here, you need to apologize for your existence, don't make a, you know, be quiet, be small, don't make a scene, don't do anything with your life and just try and disappear because you haven't really given yourself the right to be here. You need to give yourself permission to exist in this life because, spoiler, you already are existing. You're just going to have a sad existence because you're not living fully. It's kind of, you need to learn, I guess, slowly and surely, that you're the authority in your own life.
Which is the whole mantra of the Sephine Wing moment.
Mm-hmm. She is the moon and she is the moment.
You are the authority. No one's coming, Harry.
Yeah.
It really is. You are the authority. But why is that so hard to grasp? I guess it's because everyone, all the signals in life are that you are not the authority. Yeah. And that you don't have a say and there are certain things. You just have to do that in the real world. Like, you just have to do that.
Yeah. And I kind of feel it in a sense of, because I think that's where the imposter syndrome kicks in too. When you have done these things, you have kind of given yourself enough permission to get to maybe where you wanted to go. Like, I still could be I often, like, especially in like a career situation or in just like, I have to give myself permission to be that person because it's almost like you convince yourself that anything good and exciting or fulfilling can't be yours. That can't be right. This can't, it's going to be ripped from under me, or everyone's going to find out that I don't deserve it, because you're meeting life with the sense of being undeserving. But the sooner you can kind of get over that and kind of catch the negative self-talk, but then also, it's one thing to hear your inner voice and be like, okay, I'm being a bitch to myself. But then don't be a bitch to yourself by being like, look, you're just being a bitch to yourself, blah, blah, blah. Then you're going to continue it. It's like you've got this inner workings going on. You've got an inner monologue that's going a bit kind of gone AWOL. It's going off at you right now.
It's running riot.
And to be honest, and that's okay. It's just accepting. It's like allowing yourself. I saw someone put in a really good message about their life feels romantic when they're treating themselves as if they are their best friend. And that is another, she is the mood, she is the moment, the Sephine Wing moment. You need to treat yourself as if you are your own best friend and try and talk to yourself as if you are your own best friend. Because really, that's kind of all you have.
It really is all you have. Mm. It's the only thing you have any control over.
Yeah.
Is how you act and how you think. It's the only thing you don't have control over shit in this life other than what you are going to say to yourself.
Yeah, not everything will be positive. Not every feeling will be positive. Sometimes, like, no matter how kind of on it you're being with, like, watching if you're being like nice to yourself, being decent to yourself, you're still going to have bad moments because that's a part of life. And I think living with this sense of I have to romanticize every moment and everything, you know, like positive vibes only, it's like, no, real vibes only, like honest vibes only. Just take the vibes as they come.
Yeah, you're setting yourself up for failure, and not every vibe is going to be immaculate, and not every vibe is going to be acceptable for the internet or TikTok or whatever you're wanting to post your amazing clip on an Instagram reel, perhaps. Not everything is going to be visually good. Like, it's going to be visually quite shit. The vast, vast, vast majority.
Yeah.
Do you know how long it takes the main character in a film to get ready? She's in hair and makeup for fucking hours. No wonder you and your scrappy life. She's had every word scripted by a professional writer.
She's doing lots of things off camera. You never see the main character kind of going for a shit, do you?
No.
But she's doing it. If we're talking about humans.
She's shitting. She is shitting. Bridget Jones is shitting.
Yeah, she is. But the image of what's undesirable in Bridget Jones is kind of this gorgeous woman sat on her sofa looking beautiful with some ice cream. But actually what's undesirable is she's kind of got diarrhea. But you don't see that. So your whole perception of what is undesirable, like what is real or what is a bit gross, is completely warped. Because even the authenticity is performed.
It's a famous actress, Renée Zellweger, who has been told, put on 4 pounds, no more, not five, not six, 4 pounds, please. Put those on so that we can call you overweight.
She's stunning.
And then we would like you to wrap yourself in a duvet. Hair and makeup must be immaculate, though. Maybe we'll pull one hair astray and we'll give you an ice cream with a spoon in, but please don't need to bite.
Mm-hmm.
That is what's going on. And it's like, no wonder you think that your low moments are fucking low, because her low moments look pretty high.
Yeah. And even on Instagram, it's kind of a skinny white girl is contorting her body in half. So she's showing one roll, and that's being shown as, look, I'm being so brave and undesirable, but it's, and so authentic. No. That was a performance. It's like, I'd rather you project that you look good and kind, do you know what I mean? Like, don't fake looking bad. That's worse than just going on looking good.
Yeah, perform a performance. Do not perform authenticity to me. Or no wonder we're confused. No wonder we're thinking, wait, but when they're being really authentic and when they're posting themselves looking shit, it really looks a lot better than my best moments.
So much more sinister, because it becomes, oh, their stretch marks are better than mine. Blah, yeah. Blah, blah. It's like, Jesus, this is dangerous.
Kind of, they've got their natural leg hair out, but it's like, but their natural leg hair is lighter than mine. They're not like, I don't look like that when I don't shave. It's like, yeah, because they just shaved.
Kind of, her toe hair is worse than yours. Yeah. If we're gonna do that, like, we can pick and choose the quote-unquote bad parts of ourselves to share all we want. It's like, if I had done 10 essays and 9 of them were A stars and 1 of them was just an A, and I showed you my A and said, look, I'm not perfect, it's like, that's, it's still an immaculate piece of work that you worked hours and hours on.
Literally. That's why Instagram is the fucking devil, but it also is our god that we worship all day every day. But it is
the place to be.
It is the place to be, and you will be seeing this on Instagram reel. But it can't be healthy. Like, I know it's such a basic point, but like, this place literally cannot be healthy. As much as it's like, but I get to connect with like Lizzo. I get to see Lizzo's life. Like, that can't be unhealthy. I get to see amazing comedians like whoever that fucking Justin Furstman, whatever, that you love, that you mentioned like once. You get to see people.
Oh yeah, Jordan. Love
that
him.
You like and that are funny, you connect with on the internet, but it cannot outweigh. Like, you get to listen to Seffy and Wing, blah, blah, but does that outweigh seeing the performed authenticity, the performed scrappy lives when actually their lives are perfect?
Well, it's kind of, I love Jordan Furstman, but now he's in my bed with me. Now he's literally on my device in my hand and never leaves.
Whilst you're shitting, you're watching Justin Furstman. His name's literally not Justin. Jordan. So sorry, George. But it's like, whilst you are literally living your scraps, or kind of, you and your friend have not seen each other in 6 months. You go and you meet up and you have an amazing dinner, but in the moments between the laughter and the realness, you're staring down at your phone just because it's something to do. It's like, no, why don't you just sit in that moment, be present, be a bit bored, because I'm pretty sure you're not going to be bored. You're actually going to be feeling alive. You're going to notice the little things in life.
Yeah.
But instead, we fill all our like little moments, the transition moments between, oh, my friend's picking me up in a minute.
It's hard to be present.
Yeah, you just fill it with bullshit that makes you end up feeling worse, a lot worse.
You saying that just reminded me of something. The other day on the phone, do you remember you were like, oh, I'm just watching too much TV at the moment.
Outed. I cannot stop watching TV.
The other day you were on the phone and you said, I just had crazy diarrhea.
You said that you cannot stop shitting.
Remember we were on the phone, you said you killed someone, do you remember?
Yeah, that? I was gonna say when you murdered that man.
But the other day you were talking about, it was just a passing comment, but it just reminded me because...
I'm watching so much TV. So embarrassing.
Well, then I said, what even is that as a concept? Because when in phases where I'm reading a lot, it's not like, oh my God, I'm reading so many books. No one's looking at me going, she reads so many books. Because one is apparently like societally...
So superior.
It's like the premium. It's been romanticized out of classism and white supremacy. And what you know to be kind of slobby or like quote unquote unworthy.
It's thick. It's like, oh, it's a bit thick to watch TV. It's like, no, but what if I do want to watch First Dates Hotel?
There we go.
What if I do like ITV2? It's fine.
Exactly, yeah. Because I can tell you, I've put a lot of hours into books that I fucking hated.
Literally, and that's the problem. And a lot of books that are shit.
Just had to get to the end of. It didn't make me a better person. Well, this is the thing with romanticising your life. I feel like I've just got... I feel like I don't even enjoy the vast majority of books that I read. I don't enjoy them because society tells you that books are supposed to change your life and they don't. They're like really bored. Like,
and you're reading thinking, I'm reading. Oh, I'm reading a book. Do I look good? Maybe I should get an Instagram photo of this.
That's what I don't like, is that it's like you can't, like people don't, I don't know. I think people just put too much pressure on themselves to do. It's like, if you don't want to read, you don't want to read. Like,
I agree completely. I also agree, because I love someone telling me, honestly, just lie down. There's an amazing film you can watch. Just sit and watch that.
No, but I think it's true. And I think that's my problem with books, is that everyone praises and praises books. And I think mostly that's because they like to be seen. They like to do the performance of praising books. Yeah, you want to be seen as somebody that reads, but a TV show or a film could have been much more impactful on your life, but you didn't speak a word of it. That's what pisses me off. So keep watching too much TV.
Watch the Woody Allen documentary. Watch the Demi Lovato documentary.
I need to finish that.
You still haven't finished the Demi one?
No. I haven't had the waiting for the proper moment. You've kept him alive.
I know, I completely agree with that.
It's like, I'm not reading for the show of reading. I'm reading because you have to find those things that actually are making your life more enjoyable.
And now I do feel like with our attention spans that have been so shriveled down to now even a TikTok, if it's a minute long, feels a bit long, and Instagram Reels where we're like, fuck, we'll make it 30 seconds, because clearly people are only watching 30 seconds of most TikToks.
It's habits, yeah.
A TV show feels long, and then a film on top of that feels like a commitment. It's like, wait, I'm going to be here for 2 hours.
I don't know how you lot listen to this podcast. That's mental.
Well, you must. I listen to podcasts, but I often listen to them in segments almost. Like, I'll go on a walk, end my walk, turn it off, then I'll be like cooking my dinner, listen to it then. Not ours. I can't listen to ours. Jesus.
That's the thing. Yeah, I get that.
But I think that now our attention spans are so fucked. And even when I watch my like younger siblings, like my younger brother, when I watch him watching TikTok, very weird, when I look over his shoulder, he must be watching like honestly like 3 seconds of each one. And it's like, God, the generation below, their attention span is fucked. Yeah, like, actually fucked.
Well, their brains aren't developed yet, so this is literally how you're learning to live. Yeah,
so no wonder for us sitting down to read a book, it's like, oh, this is a bit fucking slow, one word at a time. Where's the music? Where's kind of ice on my neck, I'm standing behind it.
It's why I hate editing the podcast, because I can't listen to music.
Yeah that's so interesting. I do get that.
It's like mind numbing.
I honestly get that. The worst thing about editing a podcast is that you literally can't have a podcast on. It's like, ugh, this podcast for 4 hours in slow motion.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. Not this one.
With all the ums and all the bad things we say. Just like, oh, fucking hell, not again, these idiots.
Kind of, and the worst people on the planet, the plastics, the Cephian wing. Okay, shall we find a way to be doing the work this week? Kind of just take the pressure off and not be the observer in your own life might be a good place to start.
We were just discussing it and I was like, do a shitty thing and then feel good doing it. Like, do a gross thing and feel really like good about yourself. And Wing just raised a really good point of like, yeah, but don't perform doing a shitty thing. Like, don't perform.
Like, and now I make my super noodles because I'm just doing a shitty thing and I'm enjoying it. Like,
yeah.
Can you just stop?
No.
How about just don't do anything?
Literally cut the crap. Stop the act. That's the new motto.
Whoa.
Don't do that. That's our merch. And don't do a thing.
For the sake of doing a thing.
I'm going to watch fucking First Dates Hotel, whatever, and I'm going to do it and I'm going to...
You're kind of doing it ironically. You're stirring your instant noodles thinking, how hot do I look in my sweatshirt right now?
Can I accept myself in this moment? It's like, yeah, but no, not can you accept yourself from the observer's point of view. Can you accept yourself within yourself when you do nothing? It's not Bridget Jones eating the ice cream. Can I look good whilst I have a duvet wrapped around me? No, because you've still got Hugh Jackman texting you. You've still got Wolverine blowing up your phone. So can you feel good doing fuck all?
Or do whatever comes naturally to you and take the pressure off.
Oh, love it.
There's no pressure. No pressure from us.
Never. Never any pressure from us. There's pressure on us from us. There's no pressure on you.
Don't get me
from
started
us.
On the pressure on us from us. That's another question entirely. Okay, well, I think that leaves us just about all is said and done, I think.
Yeah, that's fun. Okay, well, I hope you've enjoyed this episode.
They're like, I haven't listened to a word of that. I'm doing everything through the lens of the observer this week. I am romanticising the fuck out of my life. And rightly so, you should romanticise it. But just, who are you living for?
It's kind of, you're viewing your life through the lens of kind of a Polaroid camera. You're kind of James Franco. You've got a disposable camera. You're at the festival. You're not actually experiencing the festival, but you're experiencing it through the lens of your shitty disposable camera that you got from Boots earlier that day.
I watched the Jonas Brothers concert movie.
Stunning.
On Disney Plus. I obviously saw it the first time around, multiple times.
Went to the cine.
Absolutely went to the cine. Went to the premiere even. haven't since, like, I'd never revisited it in my adult life. Fucking cried seeing Beautiful Demi Lovato and cried harder seeing Beautiful Taylor Swift. You know how I feel.
Jesus.
This goes without saying, Taylor's version.
You've got me at Demi, honestly.
So stunning.
You've got me at Kevin, then you've really got me at Demi.
I was really kind of taken aback to see there was no phones in the crowd at all. It was literally a few people had their digital cameras.
Oh my god, so
stunning.
There
was no filming on iPhones. It really was kind of honestly bringing a tear to my eye. Doesn't? I'm constantly crying. But just fascinating, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, I can't part with this bad boy. My whole life is on this phone, but it's something to think about. Anyway, see you next week.
See you next week, guys. Put down your phone maybe, but don't romanticise that.
And don't stop this podcast. Make sure you have your phone on you at all times to leave us a review, leave us nice messages on Instagram, and come to the Discord and chat.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.